Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to our latest episode of the Kosafa Show, which is actually a two-parter, as we get the extensive views of newly re-elected CAF President Dr. Patrice Motsepe. Dr. Motsepe answered journalists' questions after gaining a second term unopposed and touched on a range of issues as he looks to further entrench African football as a globally competitive and self-sustaining force in the game. We'll have part two next week, but for now let's listen to Dr. Motsepe's plans for the continent.
Pantino was saying 24 nations from the continent will be participating in the FIFA Club World Cup in America. So the talent is there, but we must just keep investing. The real benefits of what we are doing, the significant benefits, will only be realized over time. And so we recognize that there are certain things we have to do now to encourage everybody to see the progress and to double the money, the allowances, the contributions, the financial contributions that CAF gives to every member association. It's something that is significant, and particularly the poorer nations and the poorer football associations are very excited about that. To significantly increase the prize money for all of the competitions, for women, for youth, for the Champions League, for the AFCON, and also to emphasize that we want a substantial amount of that prize money to find its way to the pockets of the players and to the pockets of the coaches, because we want to consistently allow football players to have a good future and make a good living out of football. But good work has been done, good work is being done, and there's a recognition that we have to continue along the path that we've outlined, and as I said, accelerate and increase. And you heard that, you know, there were 37, 38 nations that played football outside their country. Now it's about 10 or 12. But as I said, it's 10 or 12 too many. And we have to work to make sure that that the stadiums are world-class and at the minimum in compliance with CAF and FIFA statutes. Okay, any questions?
My question is in relation to women's football. In the past decade, we have seen significant growth in women's football. And as we commemorate International Women's Month with the theme, Accelerate Action, I've been listening to you and you have been using the word recurrently, accelerate. How can we accelerate action in women's football? What are some structures and incentives that CAF wishes to provide for federation heads, especially in West Africa, in terms of education and producing quality women's coaches, referees, etc.?
Very good question. I'm going to try and be as brief and as precise as possible. The highest paid woman football player in the world is from Africa. And I was told, Mr. President, it's not just the highest, it's not one woman from Africa. The two highest paid football players, female football players in the world, are from the continent. And we've made significant progress. New competitions for women. The schools championship has hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, that came from the Motsepe family, that is focused on girls' football at schools level, because that's where really it starts. In America, they have what they call the mother's soccer club, and the mothers are involved in taking their daughters to go and play football. So there's good progress that has been made, but the key issue as well is, in many instances, there was nothing before this leadership came in place. So it was from a low base. We are an ambitious continent, and we set very high standards for ourselves. and we set very high expectations, and it's some of those expectations are difficult and tough, but over time, what pleases us is that there's quantifiable progress, there's accessible practical progress has been made. The women's, I was told that an African woman's national team may become champions of the world before a man or a young boy's football team. We want all of them to be successful. And that's where also governments can help and the private sector can help, because if the private sector sponsors women's football, it's good for their business, it's good for their marketing. More than half of our population are women. And for us, women's football is also about inspiring young girls who may not necessarily want to become football players, but watch their heroes play football and succeed and get inspired. And, you know, if Claudia can make it, or Lerato, or I don't know, Sarah or Leticia can make it in football, I can become an engineer, I can become a technologist, I can become a doctor. So those are the things that are important for us, because we always look at the development and growth of football for boys and girls within the context of economic growth, investment, more education, better future for our people on the continent. Next question. You can talk, Mamadou, you've got a loud voice.
We know you are to like hitting the ground very quick. Now today we've seen that most of your vice president will no longer be there. Three are going into the FIFA council. The other one was not elected. Now, how soon do we expect their replacement? Or do you already have names in mind?
You know, Mamadou, in football, you have to score goals. You've got to score goals. It doesn't matter whether you're a defender or your midfielder or your striker. Scores the goals. It doesn't matter whether my vice president or the chairman of finance, or in, to take your question, a vice president is the one that is there, or whether there are other people that take their place. We've got excellent people. And again, part of the duty of a leader is not just to be successful whilst you're a leader. I've had many challenges. I mean, in South Africa, I was asked to bring together black and white business, and at a very complicated time. But what you learn over the years is to focus as well on capable leadership, people who can take over from you. And as I've said many a time, not when you step down, because you spoke about hitting the ground running. I can walk out of the building and then Varon says, "Do you see the birds?" And I look at the bird and I fall. And they say, "Ah, he's got to be in the hospital for a few months." So my duty is to make sure that there are leadership immediately now who can continue with the work of CAF and continue with developing and growing football. Because for us, it's a legacy issue. It's, you know, we are so honored that we are part of this legacy. There's a revolution taking place in African football. There's a revolution taking place in African football. And we are honored and privileged to be part of that revolution. And part of the revolution is in the results. Is Morocco in the semifinals of the World Cup with all of the nations in the world? Is the AFCON in Cote d'Ivoire being watched by 180 nations? It has never happened. It's the prize money that is being given to the players and to the teams that are winning. It is 2.2 billion digital views, approximately 1.5 billion people watching African football. So we will be making announcements in due course. Part of my job, as I said, is to keep people together, because I can imagine some of the people who wanted to be elected have not been elected. Not very happy, so we have to console them, and I'm confident it'll be fine. We will continue doing well, and we will continue making progress, because we have to consistently, you know, set new targets, set new goals, set new objectives and continue to make progress.
Take the next question.
Congratulations, Dr. Motsepe. It's Valen Kirtley from Newsroom Africa, from South Africa.
Do they pay you enough? You do such wonderful work there. You do such wonderful work.
I'm so glad this is streaming. That goes out to all my bosses. Thank you very much.
Tell them they'll make more money if they pay you. This is what the mine workers say. Chairman Motsepe, pay us more money and you will make more money. And they are so correct. The more I pay them, the more for the money the shareholders make. Anyway, continue.
So you have touched on it a little bit, and that's some of the things that you're most proud of over the last 4 years during your tenure. So if you could put it down to, because there's been a lot of ups and downs, there's been stampedes, there's been family condolences that you've had to share with people, and then there's been this wonderful increase in prize money that we've seen, development of football. But what have you learned over the last 4 years of the things that you're proud of that you want to implement and better over the next 4 years?
You know, brilliant question. And that's why I was saying that, you know, on Monday, I had all of the 54 member association presidents, and I asked them, tell me, what would you like us to do that we are not doing? What would you like us to improve? Including, what are our failures? What are our weaknesses? Where do we not meet your expectations? So that's why your question is so important, because for some people, they used to receive $200,000, now they receive $400,000. For them, that is, you know, the allowance they get from CAF has doubled from $200,000 to $400,000. President, that's the best thing that has ever happened. And we've also changed it, because some of the presidents, they run the Football Federation from their pocket, have no income, have no money. And we've changed it to say, if you are an elected president, we will treat you as if you're an EXCO member, and we will give you an allowance of $50,000 per annum so that you can do an even better job, continue focusing, and don't use family money to run football. The one that really pleasantly surprised me is the $50,000 that we gave to approximately 80 football clubs that are participating in CAF competition. It's never happened. And I was hesitant, because 50,000 is small. I mean, I know from the family club and historically that there's a huge amount of money that's paid for transport, and of course salaries are challenges. But the feedback we got, and Veron did excellent work there, the feedback we got from the clubs is, thank you so much for the $50,000 that you've given us to participate in CAF competitions. That's one of the issues I want to increase significantly. And that's why this $1 billion revenue that we are looking at for the next 8 years. And as I said to the EXCO, there are legal challenges in terms of complying with COMESA. We have to comply with COMESA. We can't conclude agreements that are more than 4 years. COMESA is the authoritative entity on the continent. But in order for the participants, the sponsors, and the partners for the $1 billion partnership over the next eight years, for them to derive value from the $1 billion that's going to be raised from various sponsors and partners, it needs to be for a longer period. So we will be going through the legal process and make sure that that there's an understanding that in order for football to grow in the continent, because all of that money goes to football development, goes to academies, goes to paying salaries, goes to building infrastructure. And if we can, we currently pay $400,000 to every member association, which is double from what they got before we were there, and take that to 800, woof. And even, as I said, the objective is to get it to $1 million, good progress will be made in African football. So what I'm saying in short is, in terms of what are the things that makes me proud and I'm happy about, my view is based on what I hear from the member association, because there are different things that makes them excited. Some, you know, are very excited about what we've done for women's football. Some are exceptionally excited about how we've helped them build ties with their governments, with their heads of state, and got them to make contributions for infrastructure development. That's the most important thing. But thank you so much. Brilliant question.
Kamara?
Is it in English now?
Yes.
Thank you. They gave me one that was in Chinese. And I don't know how was I going to understand. I love Chinese, but it was a bit of a... Okay. Kamara, merci beaucoup, Kamara.
Bonjour, Monsieur le Président. Félicitations pour votre réélection.
Congratulations for your re-election. Mr. President, you came to this institution when CAF had lost its credibility and it was really bankrupt. And some people had even thought that CAF was going to cease to exist 4 years after. But after 4 years of active service within CAF, CAF has become a credible institution. You have brought in new money, you have created new leagues, and you have done a lot to improve football on the African continent. What are your prospects for the next 4 years to take African football higher and make it better?
Merci beaucoup, Kamara. Just, you're asking a very important question. I think one of my first interviews that we conducted in Morocco after the first election, it was exactly the same question. President Motsepe, CAF has got no credibility, it's bankrupt. No sponsors wants to give us money, there's demotivation. Do you appreciate the magnitude of the challenge that lies ahead? And my answer then is the same now, that no leader succeeds in anything on his own. A leader is only as good as the people that he has the privilege and honor to work with. And I've got great people that I'm working with. And we have succeeded based on the assessment of a variety of people. And it's good because, as I said, it's part of our legacy, the legacy of all of us, that we've made progress. So in the next 4 years, we always go after the difficult objectives. And those are the ones that requires consistent attention, because over time, you really make progress in that regard. So one of the key issues, as I said, is this $1 billion pathway to African development, football development and growth, to focus on the success of football in each of the 54 member association countries, because that's the key issue, that there has to be football that succeeds and grows in every one of the countries. Now, one final thing I must say is, you know, in business, one of the things you learn very early is there are those circumstances that are under your control and there are those that are not under your control. I'll give you a simple example. There's 50,000 employees in our gold and copper mining company. And part of the profitability of that company, Harmony, depends on the price of gold and copper. There's nothing we can do about that. But our focus is good management, world-class management, employ the best, pay them competitively. So in football, the relationship between the head of state and the football federation and the politics in the country, I mean, there's some heads of state, fortunately, some of them are, I've known for many years, and they say to me that, but the president of the football federation is a member of the opposition party, he's a senior member in the opposition party. So, I can't work with him. So I say, president, if you do good work, you will get the credit, and the government and football. So in some instances, we've been very successful, but to have to build a stadium for a nation to play in that country, it costs a lot of money. You know, no single individual member association, none own stadiums. They're all owned by the state, by the government. So that's part of what we are doing to try and get governments to work together and support football federations to build stadiums and football infrastructure. And we've also done good work to get the private sector. There are a number of countries where there were companies that I've known for many years, and in private discussions with the CEOs, whether in Africa or in America or Europe, they've increased that contribution to football, their sponsorship for football, in their countries. Sarah is falling asleep, you know.
Okay. President, we'll go next to the gentleman from Cameroon.
You must say, I haven't slept, I haven't been sleeping. We'll the gentleman from Cameroon.
Yes.
General. Bonjour, President. Félicitations pour merci, votre brillante réélection. S'il y avait un doute sur vos questions, le fait que vos...
on your re-election. Your re-election today is telling proof of all the work you are doing at the head of this institution. Once again, I congratulate you. I would like to take you back to something which is not negligible. One of the members of the executive committee is called Samuel Etofis. We all know that this young man was heard at the disciplinary board, and a few weeks ago he was not a candidate, and today he has been elected. I would like to know what your relationships with Samuel Etofis. Did you discuss with him? Do you have very convivial relationships with him? Are you fearful of a future collaboration with Samuel Etofis within CAF?
I'm very proud of Samuel Eto. I'm very proud of Samuel Eto. I've been proud of him for many, many years and will continue to be proud of him. The problem has been, if you were present at the funeral of former President Hayatou, I made an announcement that the feedback I was given, football in Cameroon is divided. So we need them to unite. And Samuel Eto'o has been elected as one of the leaders, and what is important is we've got to support him and support those who've been elected, including those who are part of a different grouping, bring them all together. Samuel Eto'o came to see me in South Africa, and I've been talking to him all the time. What is important for me is not just Samuel Eto'o, but every single young footballer, whether it's a football administrator or a football player, you have to have dreams of participating and being active in football at the highest level. So it's very, very important. And part of my job is to help, is to encourage. And as I said, I've worked with Sado. I'm very proud of Sado. I've worked with Eto even before he was at the Exco. A decision was taken by the governing committee, which was reversed by CAS, and that's great. We will always respect and support any decision that's taken by anybody. But let me tell you something else. When Samuel Eto'o came to see me in South Africa, it was before the decision was taken to reinstate him. And I said to him when he came to see me in South Africa that, listen, we as Africans, we cannot give up on other participants in football, whether they are different views or different perspectives, and we will always be there. In fact, I've always been, he's been talking to me all the time. And but we've got to be careful that whatever may have happened with Eto'o in the past, that is a past. It shouldn't be held against him. You know, I was told that there was a tax matter. Yeah, but so it was a tax matter. It was dealt with in court, and the decision has been taken that he should be available as a candidate. And I think he's got a contribution to make. And I really, I'm not just supportive, I'm very proud of him, and I'm very proud of Sado. Cameroon is a special country, very special country. It has made us proud, and that's why I will never give up on Cameroon. I'll always be there for Cameroon through difficult times and through good times, and we will succeed. Cameroon football under Eto'o and with the leadership will return to those glory days. Many long time ago, I told Eto'o when Cameroon won the Olympics, they didn't just win it for the people of Cameroon. All Cameroonians were proud and happy, but all Africans were proud and happy. So we want the next team from the Cameroon because the talent is there to go and represent us well in FIFA, in the World Cup, and also make us proud on the African continent.
We'll be back next week with part two of Dr. Motsepe's thoughts on the African game. Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on our YouTube channel, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news and views from the CASAFA region at www.casafa.com. Until next time, goodbye.